Welcome to Level Up Academy by Dr. Leland podcast, live stream, however you want to do it. Welcome. Thank you guys so much for being here. And thank you for listening. For those of us that's going to be listening on Team Replay, welcome to Team Replay. For those of us who's going to be listening in 6 continents, 120 plus countries, in 25 distribution channels, thank you for constantly listening to us and sending me DM. Keep them coming. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Today is a special day. I know I say that every single time I'm on live stream. You know why? It's because the people that I am hanging out with are the people who makes it special, right? And I try to find amazing, amazing people out there. There's 8 billion. Okay, 8 billion. So it's not like I'm going to be able to talk to 8 billion people in the world, but the ones who are in my peripherals are amazing people. And I always have a prerequisite of people coming in. And it's going to get harder and harder to come in for Level Up next year as well, because I'm looking for specific business owners who are willing to share some of their knowledge, right? And get to know them a little bit. That's what I do. I use my platform so we get to know them a little bit. So welcome again. And this is going to be our guest today. Look at that amazing lady. Look how so like spiffy and beautiful she is. And you get to know her today. She is Dr. Jennifer. I don't know if I can say her last name correctly. And I'm probably going to butcher it. So I'm going to have her say it. But I think it's Karenchi. Maybe. It sounds Italian. I have a lot of Italian friends, and my husband is part Italian as well, which is Zarola. And my youngest daughter, you guys know, her name is Annabella Vittoria, right? I speak a little Italian, but not that much. So don't start speaking to me in Italian, because we will not be able to communicate for sure. But thank you guys so much for being here. Now, if you stay all the way till the end today, I will flash a QR code of Jennifer and what she actually provides and what is upcoming for her when it comes to getting money for your nonprofit. That is really what we are all about today. But I don't, you know me, I don't jump into the meat and potatoes right away. I jump into the person first. What ticks, what gives, their why, their how, right? And that's where we're going to be going today. But let's go ahead and make sure that we go through our sponsors. This is Mike Asherbender, my brother and actually sister now, from another mister. I know it's funny, right? His wife's probably like, CJ, what is up? Mike basically is very part of our inner core, and he is always looking for ambassadors at the Hounds of Business community. You have to be with the HOB for 3 months. We do so much. I can't even explain to you what we do in this business community. If you are part owner or you are an owner of your own business, definitely let me know so I can hook you up with my brother, Mike. Okay. So another thing is my sister, Susanna, and I. She is my business partner. We are doing so many things, but this is our December offer. This is a special offer, 20% off right now for December only. What is it, CJ? You see that cover right there? It's called The Chronicles of Scattered Pages, Stories from Everywhere. It is an anthology. Our anthology pricing is definitely going to go up after March. I'm just going to tell you that because there are network fees and things like that. So most anthologies you belong to, you write a book, you go in the group, blah, 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 you write whatever. And that's it. For us, we write, we Zoom, we edit together, but in-house marketing. We market the book together as a group and we market it with us. And you can also get in for our TV for free as part of our authors club once you basically be part of the anthology. If you are going to be wanting to be on TV, that means Roku, Amazon Fire. These are independent TV channels. Our network is about, it's growing. It's 2.3 million downloads, I think, a month within the network, right? And basically that you get in for your business if you wanted to sponsor. I also have sponsorship package, but it's $150 for 45 minutes. But if you're in our author's club, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Literally, it's built in. But why do you need a book? CJ, tell me why. A, it's for impact and legacy. That's really what I want. And B, I'm a sucker for good stories. This is the first time that we're doing an anthology where there's no theme, meaning you can literally write about anything about your life. It's only 2,000 words. It's that easily can be done. You gain global visibility through our multi-platform because I have platform everywhere. You're talking press release, magazines, podcasts, live stream, YouTube, social media, and Instagram, right? And we establish yourself as an authority in your field. And you're probably saying, I'm already are. But how many people are really knowing who you are out of that 8 billion? The more people, it's a numbers game, guys, right? It's always been. People will tell you, it's not a numbers game, it's this. Yes, it is a numbers game. Because once people get to know you, that's when you actually do quality. But how many hours do you really have in a day to have a one-on-one Zoom just so you can nurture somebody? But what if we have a referral program within our community so that they get to know who you are and you cut all of those BS and you get your time back? That's what we're trying to establish. You also get to share your impactful story with like-minded community. Build your personal brand and legacy. That's a lifetime. Unless you just don't care about anything anymore and you just want to retire and go to Timbuktu or Djibouti and do nothing. Right? You're always going to build your personal brand and legacy. Connect and network with other influential contributors as well within our book. So I'm going to give it for 30 seconds. You can scan the QR code and let me know, or just DM Susanna and myself, and we will be there. Okay. And I'm putting this 50% off right now. This is Mike to Millions. So you're just like, CJ, what gives? If you go to, this is the QR code to Amazon. If you go to Amazon, Constance Leland, you'll see all my books. But if you go to actually ask all the people who are doing business and how they do it, they will, even the Millionaires Club will tell you, they always use podcasting. But do you know how to do podcasting? This book is a journal and a book at the same time. So you basically get to walk in, right? I've written this one. It's actually, it was number one new release when it got released first on Amazon. And literally you get to know how to do podcasting. What are some of the tools? What are some of the platforms? What are some of the AI that you can use? There's so many out there, but I'm giving you my top 10. And then I will do one this year again. And you're like, CJ, what picture is that? That's Ozzy Osbourne, guys. And the reason I put them up, it's because I got to talk to Kelly Osbourne, the daughter, next to my husband. Those are my two children. Yes, yes, I am the shorter one. Okay. I'm always a shorter one. I'm only 5 feet tall and shrinking. My husband's 6'1". Do you see the big difference there? This is why I wear 6-inch heels. Okay, that's my husband. I know. Has Black Sabbath black shirt. That's my husband. He's 6'1". I'm 5 feet, right? And those are two kids, my two beautiful babies. I call them my babies, but I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. And Ozzy Osbourne literally said, yes, go for podcasting. Go for podcasting. I met them 2.5 months ago on Monsterpalooza. And that's the reason why I want to continue to do that, okay? So tomorrow, actually, let me see. Right now, I also wanted to let you know, establishing my authority as well, because I can't ask you to establish your authority if you don't know what my authorities are. Just alone in about last year and this year, these are the books that I've written alone, okay? And the four big ones are the magazines. So Level Up Magazine's fourth issue right now, I'm going to tell you what. This is the only magazine that you can get in this year that you can get it for free next year. So if you buy this magazine right now, you get in for free next year. And I will be knocking on your door every quarter as your accountability partner. I want to test an intentional partnership. Okay. Even if you don't want to talk to me anymore, I'm going to be in a quarter. I'm going to be good to my word and said, hey, Sam, Jennifer, right? Guess what? you are in this magazine. I want to know what you are doing because I want us to manifest what we want to do in 2025. And I will check in with you every single quarter to see if you did what you're supposed to do. This is the only magazine that I will be doing that to because I want to help people be intentional and be their partner, right? To continue leveling up their professional and personal growth. I'm committed to that. And so if you want to know more about the magazine, that is the QR code. And that is the cover. It's called The Year of Reinvention, right? If you're a business leader, it's all about thought leadership. And it is all about reinventing yourself for next year. If you've been doing business for 10, 15, 20 years, and you want to know what is that? This is the age of AI, right? So we want to make sure that we stay human and authentic and use AI as a supplement, not the front-facing thing that we do. Okay. I believe in human kindness. I believe in human giving, and I believe in human care and empathy. So that is what it is. And again, as promised, I will be showing you some of my QR code layer for some of those things that I use in live streaming. Okay. So yes, these are the books. And just to let you know today, or I just got an email, I got my academic publishing approved. So that's $300,000 to write. So I am going to be writing with amazing people. If you have a master's degree, guys, or a PhD, and you want to be on this bandwagon with me, the only thing you pay, I think, is editing. But other than that, it converts to 6 different languages. You see this book right here? It's kind of tiny. Right here where it is. This is only one book. It got into Italian, Portuguese, Spanish, and I think German, right? I have an academic publisher in Germany. So Level Up Academy is leveling you up in every possible way. I think I'm done now. I'm like, I want Jennifer now, okay? I want Jennifer now. Look at this beautiful lady. Are you guys ready? Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Constance. Warm greetings. And thank you so much for the opportunity to chat with you and your listeners today. I'm really stoked to be here at the end of 2024. It's a great time for all of us and our nonprofits and businesses to think about how we can hit our goals together in 2025. So speaking of the year of reinvention, like your awesome book, we have to do things differently in 2025 if we want different and better results together.
Okay, first of all, say your last name.
Okay, so my last name is Carinzi, and you are correct. It is Italian. So you said your husband is part Italian. Well, my husband is part Filipino. He was born in the Philippines, and I'm also under the 5-foot mark. So I think we have a lot in common today here.
Small yes, but Filipinos in the house. I love it. I know. That's why I'm like, I love this sister from another mister. You know, Filipinos, we're loud. Okay. We might be small and small packages, but we never get lost. You know why? Because we said, hui, come here. You know, we use our mouth and we just did that. If you've been a Filipino, you're like, hui, come here. And my husband used to say, what does hoy means? Why do you guys say that all the time, right? And yeah, I have to wear 6-inch heels most of the time when I go out like somewhere, you know, but now it's like, sneakers. And he's really tall. And so when he walks so fast. I'm like, can you slow down? He's like, it hurts my back when I walk with you because you're so tiny. Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you and your time, obviously. And I have a lot of people already here. Ollie, yes. Thank you so much. He's from Brussels. He's from Belgium. First thing I really want to do is establish to people, who is Dr. Jennifer Carinzi? Okay. So here's my first question. Think back 20 years ago and find within your timeline some of those significant changes in your life that got you here where you are today.
Ooh, such a fun question. So let's see. Around 20 years ago, I was in art school. So I had gone to Maryland Institute College of Art, and I'd always loved to do interdisciplinary activities and anything from captain of the soccer team to math league to arts honor society and all of the things, and felt like going to art school was the path less taken at the time and a way to explore my creativity. And since then, I've gotten really interested in education. And while I was in school, I did a lot of after school art teaching in Baltimore City, where my school was located, and really found a passion there. And then got interested in the connections between research and practice, because in my teacher preparation, even though I went to a research one school, there wasn't a lot of evidence in the actual instruction that really helped me be a better teacher for my students like I wanted to be. So I went on to pursue my doctorate, and then had an opportunity to join a new organization that was the nation's teacher preparation accreditor, that was really around building a culture of evidence. So what we would do is try to make data meaningful and used and useful. So as part of that, my role was to do grants, in addition to working with faculty around the nation to provide evidence for their accreditation and of the success of their students. So that's where I first got my introduction. And my very first grant was with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it was for a project that was to test the efficacy of using student surveys to be able to evaluate teachers. So when teachers would go to practice in classrooms with their practicing cooperating teacher, these surveys that were validated would be given to the K-12 students to be able to give feedback to the teachers who were practicing in order to help improve their practice and make them better teachers. So that was my first introduction to the grants and seeing the power of that. And my second one was with the Kellogg Foundation, that was all about better preparing teachers to work with families. So from there, I went to the American Association for the Advancement of Art to run a National Science Foundation grant that was a couple years behind, that was all about trying to get better evidence for how to prepare teachers to work in high-need schools in STEM fields. So that was a lot of fun to figure out how to work with program officers and how to catch this grant up and work on my project management skills and get some quick wins in the beginning to really try to build trust with the funders, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, is very important to success, but also to get to work with people around the nation and again, really can try to improve the education system for those who needed it most. And I also worked on a few fellowships to broaden participation for women in STEM, a really fun corporate partnership with L'Oreal USA, and a program from the Lyda Hill Foundation that was called If Then, which is all about if a middle school girl sees it, then she can be it. So it was meeting girls where they are and giving them examples of scientists that aren't just one way of person in a lab coat, but that girls can really be anything they want to be, and showing them different examples of STEM professionals from the U.S. women's soccer doctor to a person who designs and engineers sets for Taylor Swift, to people who work in the government, and broadening participation. So those were a lot of my forays into grants. And more recently, after getting what I thought was my dream job as an executive director at a nonprofit, I wanted a little bit more balance and to be able to scale my impact. So I crossed over into the world of consulting.
Welcome to entrepreneurship.
It's an adventure, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's been an amazing journey, but it's rewarding, but it's so hard, right? It's kind of difficult because there's so many hats you have to wear. And I love that. And I was going to say, is that all? Really? My gosh, that is so amazing. That's why when we had a conversation, I was so in love, because you were helping women and girls most of my heart and my work, even when I was a United Nations ambassador for women and girls, because I have two daughters, right? And I also, my dissertation, it's been 2 decades now of my research, is all about how can we and what can we do as women to create mentorship for women and girls, especially in the STEM programs, right? We need more sciences and things like that. And my kids are the only, well, maybe a couple in their class who plays video games. And the parents talked to me at one point saying, why do you let your kids play video games? And I said, it's because it's a what if situation. Just like the SWAT team, when they go into situations, they always do the what if, right? And I've noticed, and I have yet to see, I'm sure there's a research out there. I'm big on research, literally looking at when you are in a video games, it's realistic. It's so realistic when I'm watching. It's like a movie, really. And I play video games myself. So when you're in the game, you have to look at, you know, the what if situation, like, wait, if I do this. And the good thing is you die, you spawn in, you know, in the value system that they have. In real life, you don't. So for me, the kids are always thinking. I feel like the people and the boys, especially who are actually playing video games, they are quick to think about certain situations. And we are only like, let's do, you know, be nice to each other. And I'm not saying not to be nice, but like only play at certain toys for certain things. I'm like, no. So my girls have grown up with dolls, boys' dolls, tanks, BB guns, like anything that the boys have, I will provide it with my kids, right? And so some moms were like, why video games? I'm like, first of all, I made money when I gave birth playing video games. My baby was 3 months. I was playing video games while she was sleeping, and I was making money selling virtual. Do you? Like, that was my first question. They're like, I don't even know what games. I'm like, exactly. Let me teach you. And I love that you have done that, because you being you, and I see that you are a giving heart. Only people have giving hearts I have in my peripheral. I can't handle the suckers in my circle. And I love that your heart is all about giving. Now, let me kind of take people back from your experience to now.
Mm-hmm.
Why nonprofit?
Sure. So why nonprofits is, that's where my background is. That's where a lot of organizations are eligible for grants. And that's where I feel like I can really help to make inspiring visions a reality. Because it's one thing to have a mission or a vision statement on paper. And I've seen a lot of organizations that have that there. But then the activities that they're doing or the money that they chase is somewhere else, and it's not necessarily pushing those big visions forward at the level and scale that they could. So I'd like to help nonprofits who have really meaningful visions to stop playing small, because a lot of times, as you know, if you work, for those of you in the audience, if you work in nonprofits, you wear all of the hats, of course. And really, if you're lacking either the time or the expertise to navigate what's an often very complicated grant system, especially a federal grants landscape, it means your organization is missing out on hundreds of thousands and sometimes even millions of dollars each year that could really go towards advancing your critical mission and better serving the stakeholders that you impact. So I'm really passionate about those particular aspects of how we can level up together. And I like to work with a lot of nonprofits who may be under-resourced or are almost underdogs in the system because they may not have been introduced to grants somewhere else, because the vast majority of funding out there goes to certain states and certain institutions or types of nonprofits within those states. So if you can have somebody who can help you navigate that system, I want to be that Sherpa to level the playing field and give those who have something worth funding a chance to get before funders with a competitive proposal.
Okay. What? You just said Sherpa. I say Sherpa. Nobody understands what I'm saying. And you said Sherpa. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Nobody why not? Understand. I love it. So my husband always tells me in the IT world, I swear they are like some of these people who are like up there. They're such elitists. I swear to you. It's a big, but it's a small community. Only a small elite that they have, right? So he always tells me what they call themselves. First, it was a SME, subject matter expert. Everyone was a SME. He's like, no, we're beyond that now. And I'm like, okay, what do you guys call each other now? And they're like, you have to be the evangelist, so above SME. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I guess like 2 weeks ago, he's like, I want to be a czar. I'm like, wait, you're not Russian. What's happening here? Like, he's like, no, that's the leveled up of evangelist. I'm like, man, I got more ways to go. I think I'm still at the SME level and I need to be the evangelist and then I need to be at the czar. Dude, where is the shortcut? Okay. Like, but I can't believe you said Sherpa. I'm like so excited when you said that. By the way, there's over 1,000 people. Say hi for me to YouTube, because YouTube people, they are in Philippines, Bangladesh, and also I think Vietnam, who are driving, and you have typhoons there, guys. Please be safe. Please be safe, okay? And so this is exciting conversation. Now, I actually want to know, because I have a lot, because, okay, full disclosure, I belong to a nonprofit as a board member called Confronting Domestic Violence, right? And I'm going to hook you up with my brother, Mike, and I'm also going to hook you up with Agape. And we're both in the Hounds of Business community. So Agape is, she basically is the founder of CDV. And we definitely need money. And I'm actually thinking of doing a nonprofit next year with my sister, Susanna, in terms of the future of the children. I'm really big on science and STEM programs and skilling up mindset for women and girls, right? And I don't know how to put it together, but I have an idea. So I'm creating like a business plan on that idea, because certain state, or I think we're going to do it and establish it in Oregon, but we definitely need money. Is there a certain nonprofit that you work with? Like, is it per industry or you work with everybody? How does that work?
So I work with various nonprofits. A lot of the nonprofits that I write for are higher education institutions or schools or museums, science centers, but I run the gamut and work with those particularly focused on education, STEM, and broadening participation. That's kind of my specialty, but as I was mentioning my interdisciplinary background, I love to see where there's connections across sectors. So I've worked in academia and industry and government in terms of trying to bring cross-sector partnerships. And the really fun thing about being a consulting grant writer is you get to work with a lot of different experts in different areas. And I'll be the expert on navigating the funding challenges and how to do the compliance, but the individuals are always the experts on their own organization and on the contents and discipline that they have and on the people that they serve. So since I've launched, one day I'll be working with somebody in Maryland who's doing a countywide suicide prevention initiative. The next day I'll be working with a campus that might be addressing dating violence on campus. The next day I'll be working with an institution that wants to get scholarships for low-income students in STEM, or do partnerships between four-year institutions and community colleges. So it can really range, and a lot of those skills are transferable. So it's so much fun to get to learn things through my work and through my amazing clients.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm like, ooh, Jennifer is my new best friend. Don't touch her. I will go after you.
Well, is there anything you don't do, right?
I know. I was like, hey, she's Filipino. You just don't understand. She's Italian and she's Filipino. Just leave her alone. It's a sisterhood right away when we have Filipinas, right? It's so funny. Hello, Marianne from Nigeria. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Now, my next question is it hard to... Is there a certain amount of money that is out there? Because when I'm looking at it, right, like you gave me the list, but when I'm looking at it, a lot of people just don't know, like, oh, just get a grant for your nonprofit. People nonchalantly say that. But how long and what is the process of getting your funding if you apply for a nonprofit?
So I am so glad you asked that question. Sometimes people think they can apply for a grant that's due tomorrow and get it the next day, and it will be the answer to their funding stopgap and needs that they do. But grants is really a long-term game. So it has to work with your long-term strategy. And especially if you're applying to federal grants, they can take a long time to turn around. So it's really important upfront to work on a grant strategy and to create a comprehensive roadmap for where you want to go and make sure that that plan really aligns with your organization's longer term vision so that one, you're not chasing grants you're not positioned for. Two, you're not doing your best to set yourself up for success in those ones that where you would have the highest ROI for applying. And three, you don't want to actually, some people think it's always great to get the money, and I certainly love helping clients get the money, but you want to make sure that your proposal is backwards designed from the beginning to set you up for success so that when you get the grant, it's not taking time away from other areas of your business or your reporting isn't so cumbersome that you're actually losing money in the long term or taking those valuable resources away from other things you could be doing with your mission. And you're building data over time and your reputation with the funder to set you up for success and your next grant. So you want to take the time to really understand your strategy and pick those grants that you have the best chance of pursuing, because sometimes it's really easy if you don't have outside help and you're pulled in a lot of different directions to kind of do the spaghetti at the wall approach or the shiny object. This other organization granted, let's go, got this grant, let's go after that one, or the spray and pray method. But then you're spending a lot of time writing grants that you may not either be best positioned to win or that aren't the best to move your organization forward. So you never want to do gymnastics to contort yourself to what a funder wants. You want to start from your North Star and your mission and have that strategy in place. And that can take maybe a couple months to get together. And then you want to follow a grant's calendar for when those deadlines are. A lot of organizations will put out very similar solicitations to different programs around the same time each year. It's not guaranteed, but you can start to plan out when some of those high value targets might come up. So you can make sure that you give yourself and your team and anyone outside that's working with you enough time to pull together a really competitive application for those. And then make sure you're planning and tracking for when that grant might come in. So for federal grants, it might look more like 4 to 12 months or even longer before you hear back from certain competitions. For smaller foundations, it can be all over the place, but it might be a month, it might be quarterly, it might be 6 months that you might hear, or that on a rolling basis that submissions are reviewed. And then don't forget about state or city type of grants as well. So depending what type of grants you want to pursue, they all have their own timelines, their own rules, their own attachments. So you want to make sure you take time up front to study them, because it can take a little longer, especially if you're just starting your nonprofit, because you don't have that history and data to maybe be eligible for certain grants. But you want to build your strategy to try to maybe start smaller, build up some quick wins where you're best positioned and that are better for startups, and get really good data and successes from your grants so that the next year or 2 years from then, you're eligible to go after some of those bigger grants and next level.
I love that. What I just noticed that you do is that most people like, I need a grant writer. Mm-hmm. Not all grant writers are created equal, people. Okay, just like everybody is a doctor, but not all doctors are created equal. Right there, Jennifer just established her authority. I'm listening very carefully. Here's the thing. When you ask for a grant writer, some grant writers just write for grants and wait for the company and the nonprofit to say, hey, these are the grants that I want, blah, blah, blah. Most people will look for it. What Jennifer does is more than that. She's the leveled up grant writer. Listen, I'm going to tell you why. She just gave you literally a grant business plan for you right there in 10 minutes. Think about it, okay? Most grant writers might not be knowledgeable on which grant, how long does it take, when is the money going to be available, and how long should we apply for, when, how long should we wait, right? Let's talk about also how much grant money you have already have been awarded for your people. How did that come about?
Sure. Well, first, I want to say thank you for your comments and that I really try to be a thought partner with the organizations that I work with. So not just take the information that's given, but really try to help them to backwards design each individual grant proposal and to fit it within the larger scheme of their organization and what they want to do so that everything is mutually beneficial and working together to set both them up for success and me in my win rates and grants moving forward. So I can say that December 2nd was Currency Consulting's 2 year anniversary. So we're 2 years old right now. And in that time, we've helped to advance over $30 million in grants. So for those grants, we've helped all different kinds of organizations, and we play different roles on there. So for some of those grants, I served as a writer on a larger team for the grants. So just to share that writing is not like ghostwriting for a grant. Just keep in mind, it's a partnership. You work together and that you are the expert on your organizations, your projects, and we work together to craft a compelling story. Sometimes I serve as a reviewer. So that might be where somebody at the nonprofit has the knowledge to write and the time and they wrote the grant. And then I serve as a red shirt reviewer, meaning that I pretend like I'm on the panel at the agency or the funder and rate and rank the grant application against the solicitation criteria to check that it is compliant for everything that it needs and to suggest and track changes and redline and say, what about this here? Or it wasn't quite clear about this piece. And then sometimes I serve as a coach, which is a really fun role for me as a past educator, but it's really building capacity of the individual teams and really helping to bring in my project management background and do a timeline and organize what might be done when and to scaffold the process that can often be overwhelming when people have day jobs, of course, and are trying to apply for grants on top of this, but to be able to say, here's what the organization means by this type of terms. Here's an example. Work on this section and we'll meet together next week and I'll give you feedback. And that way we can break it up into bite-sized chunks so that by the end, the team really understands how to put the grant together. And we've worked together in a coaching model to do that. But
Marlene has a question. Do business plans help when pursuing grants? And she meant grant business plan. What's your thought?
Thanks, Marlene. So it really depends what kind of grants you're going after. So if you're more of a for-profit entrepreneur and a small business maybe, and you're going after certain grants that are for businesses or businesses in your state, or sometimes there's grants that are geared towards helping women in business or underrepresented groups in business, for example. A lot of those grants might want you to have an actual business plan to be able to attach, or might have questions where you would pull from your business plan, and having that written down would help you to more easily have pieces to pull from to write your grant. For more of a nonprofit, I'd say it's more about having a grant strategy, like I talked about before, that's your roadmap, and over time, developing a library of materials that you can use and pull from. So you might develop some nice boilerplate on your project management experience, or your boilerplate on your evaluation successes from previous grants, or other pieces about your project that you could pull in that would help to craft that knowledge. But you don't necessarily need a grant business plan, but you might have a concept paper that helps to put things on writing, share it with your team, share it with grant writers who are working with you, so that you can see how best positioned you are to develop a concept and when is the right time to go for it.
Thank you for answering that question. Here's my next question. Are there restrictions on how the grant money can be used, such as, is it for operational costs? Is it for the programs that I'm running or capital projects?
Great question. So usually there are restrictions on how grant money can be used, and it depends on the guidelines from the funder and the particular program that you're applying to. So those will often be up front in the solicitation or the call for applicants. And then it depends what you write in your application for how you're going to use the money. So a lot of times you make a pitch within the parameters of a given grant program and solicitation to say how you're going to use it. And often there's a budget attachment and a budget justification that would say how you are going to spend the money. So you want to try to stay within that budget and the spirit and scope of work that you said you were going to do. And things certainly come up and COVID hits and things change and you have to pivot, or you get this great opportunity to move funds over here to have bigger impact. All of that is allowed if you work with your program officer and funder to give them a heads up if things aren't going as well and ask to move, or if you have a great idea for something else, building that relationship can let you move funds around. But just thinking about some of the wording in that question about operational cost programs or capital projects, it depends on the funder what they might be eligible for. Kind of the gold standard that a lot of organizations want is really those operational costs and money that you can move around as you see fit. There are some grants like that, but they're a little fewer and far between. But if you can get them, that is great. Sometimes there's rules for how many times you can apply for those grants, that you want to make sure it's not taking up too much of your funding percentage, because you want to have a diversified portfolio of grants for the funding portion that's making up your budget, as well as other opportunities for funding, such as memberships or conference revenue or individual donations outside of grants. But a lot of grants are really geared towards projects. So projects meaning there's a discrete beginning and a discrete end, and it's a little bit different, but you want it to be related to what you do as business as usual. So you want to try to think about new projects that you might need funding for, or how some things that are related to operational costs can be broken up into a project. So maybe you have a new partner that you could work with to deliver a specific intervention with a new population, but taking something else and piloting it in a different context. You could market that as a project to a funder who was interested in that population and a certain type of project and intervention. And then usually that opens up more opportunities if you can do it as a project. And then of course there's other grants that are open to capital projects specifically, or that sometimes they'll specifically say we do not fund capital projects.
I see. I love projects. I'm a queen of projects. If you need project ideas, just come to me. And then I will push you to Jennifer so we can fund it for you. Oh my gosh. This is going to be my last question, I promise. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll second to the last question. What are the reporting and accountability requirements associated with the grant, including deadlines and necessary documentation? So you talked about, hey, these are the projects, these are the funding, but do the funder require you to submit some type of reporting to be accountable of where the money is spent? Is there such a thing?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm going to put you on speed dial for helping clients with project ideas. But there is absolutely such a thing, and it's really important to think about from the beginning as you're deciding whether or not to apply, and then how you are structuring what you say you're going to report on. So sometimes people are surprised by the reporting, even though it's in the solicitation, but sometimes they're pages and pages long and it's down at the bottom and feels like the small print and you're so busy getting your project together that that can sometimes be an afterthought. But there typically is reporting and accountability, and there's different lengths of grants that one can apply to depending on the funder and the program, but some might be 6 months, some might be a year, 3 years, 5 years. So on something like a 5-year grant, you typically have an annual report each year and a final report at the end, although it can be totally different for the funding agencies. Sometimes if there's a cooperative agreement, there's a higher level of oversight and accountability, and you might have monthly meetings set up with the funder and formal quarterly reports. If it's a smaller foundation grant that's for something like 6 months, you might just have one less formal report. But sometimes funders have specific portals with very specific questions or data that they ask you to report on. So it's good to know those up front. And it's also good to think about your evaluation plan up front and potentially involving an external evaluator, which may or may not be a requirement of the grant that you apply for. But the better data that you have and the more you collect that's related to the degree to which you met the objectives and goals that you said you were going to meet, the better off you will be with that particular funder for that grant. The better off you'll be positioned to maybe go for a bigger or next stage or continuing grant with that same funder, or to have that data to use for your next funder. So again, it's a long game and thinking about how all of these pieces fit together to set you and your organization up for success.
I love that. I already have a project in mind. I think I'm going to have Miguel for sure. Miguel has a master's in anthropology, and we like to think about research on human behavior. I'm really into psychology lately. I actually got into a PhD program for a psychology in industrial and organization. My daughter's like, so is, you know how you have a DBA already and you're called a doctor, and if you get a PhD in doctor, is that doctor? Like, how is that gonna, mom? I'm like, oh, just one doctor is good. Like, I love learning. I love listening to you. I love everything that you've said because it makes sense. And this is the difference between someone who's just a grant writer. I know I just said just, right? Someone who just write grants and someone who actually write grants and everything else within it. It's a huge difference because you need an ally to really kind of corral your thoughts because you don't know what you don't know. And so thank you so much for doing that. For all of you nonprofit, watch, okay? And listen, hello, Nicole. Nicole is a fellow board member for CDV as well. And then this is my brother from Belgium, but this is my sister, Susanna. She's my business partner for publishing. Yeah, I am a queen of projects. My biggest one, I think, is the 50 inspirational connections on LinkedIn. So this is the second year, and I elevate 50 people for free on my own time, over 100 hours. And I was like, you know, that's why we need a nonprofit. Because this project's not only give people a boost to be seen and to be heard in my platform, but other people's platform as well. So I hate to end this conversation, but this is my last question. I promise. Okay. And I try to like match your color. I usually have pink, but I put blue. I'm like, you know, Jennifer's like blue. If this is your last day today on this earth, Dr. Karenchi, What would be your parting message to your current and future families in terms of living life, legacy, and impact?
I think it goes back to that idea of backwards designing, the same way you want to backwards design your grant application for where you want to be 5 steps ahead and be playing chess in that way. You also want to think about backwards designing your life and how your work fits into your life versus vice versa. I went to a professional development recently and the speaker did something called a death ceremony, which was really interesting because it's pretending that it's you at your funeral. And he recommended doing this once a year. So with the new year coming up, maybe this is a good time to do it, but to imagine what would happen there and what do you want people to say about you. So if it was somebody giving the eulogy at your particular funeral, what would you want them to say about you and what your impact was in your nonprofit work and in your personal life. So I think I would encourage everybody to backwards design from that point and then to really celebrate where you could be, because I know that can be a little bit depressing, but I think it's really empowering then to turn that and say, what specific behaviors do I need to change in what I'm doing each day and in my calendar and what am I scheduling and not scheduling? That's really important, and to do an audit to see where could I be having my calendar and where I'm spending my time match what my values are and what I want to teach my children and leave the next generation. As a mom like you, I have a 10-year-old and I have an 8-year-old, and really just thinking about what do I want them to remember about me and what I did and how I helped others and left the world. And I think that's just a beautiful thing about being a business person and an entrepreneur and working in the social impact sector and nonprofits, is being able to pass that on to the next generation. It's been really fun to see my daughter in particular see me in business and start to work with me in business, and then started her own business where she wants to bring joy to others through what she does. So actually, I think I have one of her creations through her jewelry business, Juniper's Jewelry, on today, but to celebrate that.
Wow. Yeah, I think you just gave me an idea. Maybe I will I will write my own eulogy for someone to read to me. Oh my gosh, I want it to be funny. I don't want it to be sad. I want you guys to celebrate life, you know? I don't like sadness as it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are still here, this is what I'm going to tell you that Dr. Karenchi is offering. So that QR code, thank you so much for staying here. Almost 1,100 of you guys are still watching us live. Thank you. For those of you who are team replay, thank you. For those of you who are commenting, I love you. Okay, just letting you know. And Dr. Karenchi and I are enjoying these conversations. So this is the newsletter. Please scan that QR code. She's going to be launching her YouTube. Yes, we will subscribe. Hit that subscribe button in 2025. And if you are a grant or, I'm sorry, if you are a nonprofit who needs grant information, you know where you need to hang out, huh? This corner, okay? I'm just saying. So if you are needing some help, she's accepting strategy clients for 2025. You can apply. There's an early bird pricing. And also click on that LinkedIn, or you can't click that LinkedIn because it's already a link that I have in here, but she will be on that email. hello@karenchiconsulting.com. If you have any questions, please email her directly and help yourself and let her help you if you are a nonprofit. nonprofit. Another thing I wanted to tell you is that because I promise you something to give today for being here, you can scan my QR code. It should get you directly to all the things that I use for my live stream and podcasting. 2025 should be podcasting for you all. If you don't know, I have a free community for Mic to Millions, right? The free community for podcasting. If you have started, if you are already in it, and what we do is we talk about strategy on how you can monetize eventually your podcast, but literally send your messages out there as part of your reach outreach for your community. So why not do it all on podcasting? And I actually will give you tips and tricks on how to connect it where you're everywhere, but you're not doing it everywhere. Does that make sense? I'm all about streamlining. All four QR codes are for my socials. These are the socials that I'm active in. That is my LinkedIn. That is my Instagram. That is my YouTube. And that is my TikTok. On TikTok, I'm like a sales lady. I'm literally selling everything on TikTok, including my knowledge, of course. Duh. I partner and collaborate with so many manufacturers from China, and they give me free stuff. And so I only will accept those free stuff if it makes sense, not just everything. There's some things I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But with TikTok, I appreciate your support. I'm trying to get to 10,000 subscribers there. I'm only at 6. With YouTube, please subscribe. You know what kind of information you get on there. I'm at 67,000, I think, on YouTube. And then, of course, on Instagram, I think I'm closer to 90,000 now subscribers. And LinkedIn, I keep deleting people. So don't worry about LinkedIn. If you are not LinkedIn with me, yes, you should LinkedIn with me. I hang out on LinkedIn all day, all night, every day, 24/7, literally 7 days a week. So that's where I'm at. So scan those QR code. Those websites, levelupwithdoc.com and luabydocleland.com, are my two websites. And then, of course, my email. No, that's my YouTube. But my email is actually lua@levelupbydocleland.com. So if you scan that QR code, people, you will get directly to my list of where to buy it on Amazon. And I actually gave you a link directly of where to buy it. Okay. And then tomorrow, we are going to have TV and on Restorative Retreat for Purposeful Driven Women. And so if you are looking for someone, I'm so excited. This is 6 miles away from my house, okay? Victoria Shaw owns this place. You're going to need to want to meet her tomorrow. If you're thinking of doing some, let's say, for example, you want to do a workshop, but you want to a workshop that's home away from home. Her home is amazing. It can fit 20 people. Think about it. 20 people. What? And April Wyatt is the lead. So we're going to do biodynamics breath work. We're going to do Reiki. We're going to do intuition development workshop. We're going to do a mindfulness hike, a yoga, right? Sound healing. Sound healing sounds so good right now. Cold plunges. I don't know about cold plunges. I hate cold. I'm Filipino. Like what? I'm from the islands. I don't do cold, but it's supposed to be good for my brain and body. I guess I'll do it. And then of course, we're going to have catering. This is February 20th to 23rd. And if you are in the hands of business, guess what? April is giving you a discount. So if you're not in the hands of business, go run. Run right now. Okay. Thank you guys so much for being here. I appreciate you. Dr. Karinchi appreciates you. Bye, everybody. Thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate you. See ya.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Dr. Leyland.
Yes. Bye, everybody.